Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
This is our show. Welcome to it. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to record a deed. Doesn't get any more simple than that, this kind of show. Good show, anyway. Let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Cool. Actually, I stole this question from another real estate environment that you are involved in, you and I are involved in, because of this question just kind of, when I read it, you'll see why.
Okay.
I'm like, I saw this question, and I'm like, I got to help this person.
I'm reading ahead.
Yeah, you are reading ahead. You know what's funny is I emailed myself this question.
This is Jill's peeve.
This is so
maybe
good.
Maybe her pet peeve.
Oh, my gosh.
But a high-ranking peeve.
I was like, I'm tooling around, just kind of looking at what's going on, what people are talking about, and hey, how can I help? And this question jumped out at me, and I haven't replied to him yet online, but I'm like, oh, no, no, no. So here you go. Blake from on another communication site wrote, and the initials are BP, I have been driving for dollars in Southern California.
Oh, because of traffic.
This is
so
hilarious. Well, okay, red flag, there's two. And finding some houses that I will be mailing to you. Red flag number three. Okay. I'm looking to find the owner's address.
Four.
There's a red flag four, yes. And I think I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are. Five.
This is fun, man. Usually we have to be politically correct.
Yeah, no,
plus,
not
this guy's not a member, so we can just roast him.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you change his name?
No, I did not. That is disgusting. Okay. I attached a link. I didn't look that up yet. I attached a link to an example house. What is that, like a picture from his cell phone? Oh, that's six.
You know exactly what it is.
Oh, my God.
It's a house that's fallen down.
Oh, my God.
Why are houses that are falling down better deals than
God,
okay, keep going.
Is this the proper website to look for a mail address if it's an absentee owner?
Oh, my
Bing!
God. Where do people
Eight?
Get their stuff?
Can someone give me some advice on the research phase of driving for dollars? Thank you so much.
Someone is me.
Oh, my God. Well, the research is stop it.
This is what you don't do. This is how you fail.
This is, do I repeat the whole thing?
How to fail.
How to fail by this
How
person.
To fail, and then, unfortunately, a lot of people do this. They fail, and then they go, they're out of the business.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so tragic.
You're right.
Failing itself is not tragic. It's awesome.
Right.
So, and this guy failed, so hopefully he's going to pick himself back up and listen to this, and he's going to do it right.
Jack, he might not recover. You're right.
I mean, it's usually there's one or two things that are going on that's wrong. This is like nine.
Yeah.
Do not get in your car and drive for dollars. It's inefficient. It's a waste of time, energy, and money, and all of it. You're going to go look at 25 houses or some or 25 or 30 pieces of land. And what you're looking for is not the right thing. You're not looking for a substandard property. All right? You're not. Real estate has very little to do with why you're successful at this. Why you're successful is that you're good at manipulating data and negotiating, and you're good at data, and you're good at sending offers, and you're good at machine-like processing of property. The actual property itself is secondary. So what this guy's doing is driving around looking for a fallen down house. Somebody told him for whatever reason that getting the owner's address at the county is a good idea, which is not. And then mailing it, and hopefully checking to see if it's an absentee owner, because, and this is all wrong, that absentee owners, for whatever reason, are more likely to take a undervalued offer.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's wasted a ton of time. So this is what you do instead. Jill, I'd love to hear your opinion on this when we're done, when I'm done ranting. Pick a neighborhood out that you like wherever you're driving around. Get out of the car. Go back in your house or your office. In that same neighborhood, look it up on Data to Doorstep, RealQuest, or whatever. You know, I mean, you're going to waste your time if you're not using that product. Trust me. There's only a couple more out there, and they're substandard. and send everybody in that neighborhood an offer. Every single person. Don't just forget about back tax property. Forget about absentee owners. I know you've heard it from all. Just send everybody an offer, and somebody is going to sign it and send it back. Don't send them a postcard that says, I would like to talk to you about buying your house, because they're going to call you and do that. They're going to do exactly what you said. Call you and talk about buying your house. And then you're going to end up hearing about their Aunt Sally and why they paid too much for the house and they did it, bought it during a downturn. And now you've wasted an hour learning about Aunt Sally. Send them a written offer with a time frame to close, like we've been teaching for a million years. And some people are going to get upset and they're going to call you and you're going to hang up. Or you're going to tell them a beautiful story. Change their mind around, and some people are going to sign the thing and send it right back, and you're going to buy it for half of what it's worth, and you never left your coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
Who teaches this stuff, Jill?
I don't know. I just think it's 19 whatever, and people don't realize that there's a better way. It's like this guy's using a phone book and he doesn't know you can Google a phone number. That's kind of how I feel when this whole driving for dollars. It's so outdated.
Why is property that's fallen down, like in houses, a better deal than if it's not?
Right. I don't want to touch those. Do you really want that?
Why would you just... what you're after is a great deal. You're not after a fallen down house. Maybe one of the people that got the offer, they just had a death in the family. They need a ton of money, and they need it next week. And they have the greatest house on the block.
Right,
and that's what you're smoking out.
They don't have time to list it for sale. They don't want to talk to a realtor, whatever it is. That's not their thing.
Maybe this happens a lot to Jill and I. Maybe their house is so dirty inside and they want to sell it, but they don't want to clean it up and hire a realtor and go through all that. Mm-hmm. They would rather just get a check from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. They don't want to list their house and have to leave on Sunday when their real estate agent's going to hold it open. And
mm-hmm.
They'd rather just get the check and leave because they got a job in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for a fallen down house. Well, how many times do we have to say it?
Well, and the whole thing too, how many times have you and I mean, the times that those fallen down houses, there's a reason it's sitting there abandoned. It may be in a trust mess.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody's touching it. It's sitting there for a year.
Seek out
problematic property. Do you want to get involved in that? Yeah. Heck no. Why wouldn't you buy the house next door? Hello. Because, you know, they don't like it because, you know, whatever it is. So
same thing with the back tax list. Everybody teaches that. Oh, get a back tax list from the county and send everybody an offer. Well, what you're doing is sending offers to problematic property.
Right.
And you better be close to or an attorney to figure out some of the estate stuff that goes on. Why not just send it to all the awesome property and look for the person that's moving to Boston?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We've only been doing it for 15,000 properties in
We're not really sure. We're only still testing it now.
I'm going to go drive for dollars tomorrow.
I think so. I think maybe at about, you know what, Jack? I think once we hit our 20,000 transactions, then I might be comfortable.
You know what I should test? Well, I'm not going to do this, but how long would it take to drive for dollars to buy a property? Like he's describing.
We should do that.
I mean, I bet it would take a month. No, it would take longer than that.
Shoot. You know what? Wait a minute. I almost want to reach out to this guy and say, let's play this.
This is even what the show's about.
I know. But I kind of want to reach out to him and go, you know, hey, Blake, let me know how this goes. I'm really curious. Tell me how long it takes you to make this whole thing happen. I'm going to bet 6 months.
Ask any of our members how long it takes to get a signed offer for half of what a property's worth, and this is what they'll tell you. Go on successplanandask.com. Get a username. It's all free. And ask this question. How long does it take to buy your first property? And they're going to tell you this. Well, it took me a weekend to learn all this stuff because I had to watch Jack and Jill and this silly DVD thing. And then it took me about 3 more days to figure out how to analyze the data, get it to them, to send it to the offer, and those guys make that pretty easy. And so then I chose the county, sent some stuff out in the mail, sent some offers out in the mail, just like they show you.
That took like half a day, right?
So now they're 2 weeks into this, and the mm-hmm. offers are in the mail. You wait 2 weeks because the postal service, the way we do it, it's cheap. The cheapest way to do it is slow. So now you're a month in, all in, and you've got a signed offer on your kitchen table. 30 days.
And how many hours did you put in?
The program's 10 hours. Learning after that, probably 2 to 4, I bet 24 hours total.
Thank you.
Ballpark.
I'm good with that.
We could do it in a weekend, easy. You could get offers out in the mail. If you have not started your real estate career, you are 24 hours away if you're organized and you can keep your children away from you and all your life stuff away from you. You are 24 hours away from having offers out in the mail and probably about 2 weeks away from buying property for half price.
Yeah.
Do I sound like a salesman? I don't want to. That's not my point here. This pisses me off, quite honestly.
Thank you.
I hate to see people wasting time and money.
This guy is gonna fail.
And he's gonna say, well, real estate investing sucks. And it doesn't. Real estate investing is awesome. That's what's upsetting.
I agree.
I'm really glad you chose this question.
Thank you.
I think it's going to help a lot of people.
And I didn't, by the way, I changed none of that. That was all 100% verbatim cut and paste. So the whole Southern California and everything like that, I'm just cracking up. I just think it's great.
You know, I see you writing down stuff for social media quotes. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote out of this.
Ready?
I think I'm doing it wrong.
Mm.
Hey guys, I've been driving for dollars and I think I'm doing it wrong.
There's really nothing right about it. Oh, that's so good.
Blake, we're not busting on you, dude. You're not alone. The vast majority of people that come to us here at Land Academy have experienced something just like that. And they heard maybe an episode or they read some stuff about how everybody teaches a 1979 version of real estate investing still. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why not just teach the right stuff? And then people succeed.
That's where I'm at.
And then, like, I don't know.
Why is nobody quick? Can you imagine? It's like I'd be sitting in, imagine you're a kid sitting in a classroom and it's a science classroom and they're still teaching, you know, science from 50 years ago. And you're kind of going, you know, we actually have phones that do that now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they never caught up. They're Jill still teaching. A phone is always plugged into the wall.
Hey, for you young people out there, there used to be these phones that you plugged into the wall. You know what? You don't have to worry about that because yours is in your pocket. There's the whole lesson right there.
Thank you.
Hey, driving for dollars, people. It used to be this thing called driving for dollars, but you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Exactly.
There's this new thing called data manipulation and assessor data, and you can get it and do it and be in 24 hours, have 17 million offers. And I'm not exaggerating. You could put 10 to 40,000, maybe 50,000 offers in the mail 24 hours from now and expect about, being super conservative, a 1% purchase rate. So every 100 offers you send out, you're going to buy 1 to 5% of the ones that go out if you do it right for land. For houses, it's about 1 out of 1,000 to 2,000 letters. And that's, I'm talking about scraping the bottom. That's not trying to get 4% off. You're trying to buy it for 40 to 60% of what you can sell it for it the next day.
Awesome.
And you don't get in your car. You don't need a car. If you don't have a car, don't worry.
Good point. You don't need a car. If you don't have a car, don't.
It's not like dating a Jill. Like, remember, like when you're a kid, you're like, that girl would never, I don't have a car. That girl's not going to go out with me.
You don't have a car, don't worry. I don't have a cool car. What if you have an awful car?
Did you ever date a guy with a real bad car?
No.
Besides me.
You know what? You know what's really funny? This is totally off topic.
Yeah.
Your first car is similar to the guy, my first boyfriend's car, which was a black VW Bug.
Yeah, my first car is a 73 Super Beetle.
That's cool.
A semi-automatic. It had no clutch.
Oh.
It had the stick shift, you know, but there's no clutch. It's just, you look down there, it's not there.
How do you shift?
Like you put your foot on the gas. And, I've always wondered why all cars aren't like this. Somebody could probably tell me. Like all manual transmissions.
Wait. Was there a regular stick or was it on the tree? Because I know what that is.
It was just like a regular stick shift or any other car that's got a stick shift. Everything's the same. You just press the gas, you run through the first gear, and you change it. You put it in a second.
Hmm. What's the point of a clutch then?
That's what I so if someone could tell me, I'd like to know.
You know what? We always talked about being car talk. We officially are now car talk.
I just bought a motorcycle. Here's another thing about clutches. I just bought a motorcycle that has a what's called, and I didn't even know this existed, a CVT transmission, continuous something transmission, like continuous velocity. I don't know. And there's no clutch there. And there's no transmission. You don't even change. They took it all away. So it just knows.
I didn't know. I didn't even realize that. It's shifting automatically?
Yeah, there's lots of gears. I don't know how many gears it has.
Huh.
It just knows where you are in the whole thing. And it's fast, man.
Huh.
Like, it's, you know how with an automatic transmission, and you don't, there's no shifting, you still can hear it and feel it shift.
Uh-huh. Right?
You know which gear you're in if you listen. This CVT is just smooth, it's continuous.
Huh. Interesting.
You stop at a light, it does something, and it's all back in first gear or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm talking on them.
So you don't feel, there's no, you don't feel like a shifting happening? It's just, that's it?
You don't feel it at all.
Huh. You know what?
Like on a scooter?
I'm sitting on the back, and I'm clearly not paying attention.
You know, like on a 50cc scooter, there is no transmission. It's all just one gear.
Right, because it's all right.
That's what it's
like. It's like a lawnmower.
That's what it's like.
That's all you got. Huh.
It never changes gears.
Huh. But it goes a whole lot faster.
Silly fast.
Yeah. What is the show about today?
Gosh.
I don't even know.
You know what? We're going to record a deed on another show. Well, how do you record a deed, Jill?
Okay, I can do this. How to record a deed. 101. Just kidding.
You know, PhD level and the 101 level of recording a deed are the same.
They are. Okay. Recording the deed is not creating the deed. You have the deed in your hand now, and now you need to record the deed. So, first point that's really important, I want to make sure that you know, because I have this question often, is once the deed is signed, you own it. Recording is not making it legitimate or anything like that. Recording the deed is making it public knowledge. So just so you know, that's what you're doing. So why are you recording a deed? You're making it public knowledge that you own it. The county knows it's yours. And for tax things and all that good stuff, they know where to send everything. They know it's you. So
that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about recording your name and address and associating with it so that they can send you a tax bill.
Exactly.
So how do you record a deed? You just send it into the county recorder.
Mm-hmm.
The person who conveyed the property to you, they sign it. This is something that gets overlooked lots. You don't sign the deed. Mm-hmm. The person who's conveying it to you, the seller, signs it. And then you have it in your hand and you go record it.
Mm-hmm.
I could, if I wanted to, record property to Jill, or I could deed property to Jill, sign the deed, walk over to the recorder, get it recorded, and she would never know.
Mm-hmm. Until I got a tax bill.
And she would get a tax bill and say, oh, you
Why
made
is
a mistake.
This mine?
You
what?
Made a mistake. Why?
Who's
I'm
this?
Not paying this.
Yeah, no. No, it yeah, you
it
own
happens
it.
To us.
Yeah, that person, you own it. Okay, thank you.
It's
kind of weird.
It's only one single signature. Like, it's not even a contract, I guess. And it still surprises me to this day that you could, like, maliciously record deed mm-hmm. property to people. You know, like, I don't think you have to have consent.
Really do it, but no,
I
you don't.
Check into that.
No, you really don't. Yeah, it's not like when you're sending it in, it's not like the recorder is calling you up going, hey, you know, this is happening. No, they don't do that. That's it. Look, so back to the basics, you're going to basically you're sending it into the county recorder's office, or you could walk it in if you really want to, if you're close. You're going to pay a recording fee. Anywhere from, gosh, $10 to $20 typically. They record it. It's stamped and it's dated. It might have a book and a page number on there.
Book and a page.
A barcode. That's how they're coding them. And you get a copy back. You want to make sure that you do go to whatever county's website that is before you record the deed and check the recording instructions. And it'll tell you one-page deeds cost X amount. You know, and if they and they'll
Every
tell you to
different.
Make sure you have it looking, you know, kind of like this. So we have room to put our stamp on it. You leave the upper right hand corner. They'll have that directions on there. You'll have an address where to send it, how much to send, and if there's any additional things required. Like for example, in California, it's a PCOR, Arizona Affidavit of Property Value.
Don't get scared by any of this. It's really simple.
It's just an extra form for the assessor so they can assess the property later on.
Right.
It's really just stating, you know, who bought it, how much, what were the terms, was there anything on it? It was, you know, that kind of a thing. It's just for the assessor, and it's not a big deal. It's not like no one's going to come after you if you did something wrong, by the way, too. You're fine. And just that additional form, you send it in, and that's it.
It's as simple as that.
It really is.
We have successfully butchered the structure of this show today.
Yes, we have.
And thanks for listening.
And it was fun.
Before we leave, Jill, inspire us.
you know what? There's a lot of things in life that you don't have to do anymore.
Oh my gosh, this is brilliant.
You like that?
Jill.
Thank you.
This may be your most, it's in the top five for sure. Not an, me. I need to say this to myself more often. Go ahead. Let me.
How about this?
I'm interrupting you. Go.
No, finish. It's okay. You know, it's funny. Because we did so butcher the show. I'm like, I usually have notes and a comment ready ahead to go. And I didn't have one for the show for my inspiration. So I glanced down and I saw the driving for dollars. You don't have to do that anymore. But I'm thinking in life, there's things we don't have to do anymore. You know?
And yeah.
There's stuff that, you know, there's probably something that you're doing right now today that you hate, that you think you have to, but you kind of don't, you know?
Oh my gosh, this is brilliant. I'm going to spend my whole rest of the week
thinking about it.
Every single thing I do, I'm like, do I really need to do this or not?
Yeah, is it just because I feel like I need to?
I do. It's like, well, just a habit.
Can I tell you one? If you don't want to make the bed, you kind of don't have to.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
You know, give yourself, if you want to take, if you want to take a day off, yeah, kind of can. I mean, if you want to play hooky? Got a sick day? Use it.
You want to have that third martini habit.
Oh, there we go. But there's a lot of things that we walk around doing because we think we have to. No. You don't have to. And by the way, this is one of my biggies. If you found a better, faster way of doing something, but maybe it's not the norm, so what? Do it. I mean, that's what that 4-hour work week book is and all that good stuff is, everybody. And I can't think of that other guy that I like, but... You know, if you've got a better way and you can get your whatever it is done in 4 hours, it takes everybody 8, you didn't do it wrong. You did it right.
I had a boss say, if you can't get your job done in 8 hours, you're spending 10, 20, 30 hours, you're spending 10, 12 hours a day, there's something wrong. Maybe it's a job for two people. Mm. Maybe you really suck at it. Or maybe you're just wrapped up in some political crap that, you know, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I had the opposite. I've had a job where, you remember this, I'd sit staring at the clock. I'm all done.
That's awful.
I'm literally done. I've done everything I did. Too bad my people around me are not as efficient, but I can't leave because it's not 4:30. So I'm sitting there staring at the clock. That's painful.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information that's me.
And inspiration. Hopefully that's me.
You knocked it out of the park today.
Thanks.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. We went over our time limit. This is like 4 shows.
You know what? That was so fun, though. We haven't really done that in a while.
We haven't ranted about driving for dollars.
Yeah. There are a couple things there that we really went off on, and I appreciate that. I think that was really, really good.
If you want bigger pockets... You know, we have no affiliation with them at all. It's all full of real estate advice. There's so many people that have the same thing. Like, why isn't this working?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got tired. I used to have a Microsoft Word file of canned responses to, like, why isn't this working? Like 90 of them. And it's just because it's so much bad information.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's true.
Pick bandit signs. If you want to half fail, not totally fail, pick bandit signs. You know, at least there's a passive way. It's a passive way to generate calls instead of actively. You should never actively go out and look. Real estate agents do this every morning and half of them fail.
Mm-hmm.
They actively go out and look for listings instead of using a tool like the U.S. Post Office to go get listings.
Exactly.
To make a long show longer. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property. If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.